You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach talking to the Baltimore Orioles with MLB.com's Orioles beat reporter, Brittany Droli. Red, the Orioles are finally back home after a trip. Three-city trips happen, but three-city trips when you're not expecting a three-city trip are certainly a challenge. How tough, just sort of physically and mentally, putting aside the baseball side, you were with the club. How tough was that trip for the Orioles?
It was draining. I mean, it was really draining for me, and all I did was watch them play baseball. So I can't really imagine how it felt. You know, they spent that final week in New York. They had the Tampa series. And, you know, there's something about being on the schedule, and they're very much creatures of habit. I think the Tampa series, even though they took two of three, you know, was just tiring, you know. And then they go to New York, and they don't play well at Citi Field. And they weren't able to get anything going consistently against the Yankees in New York. So they're very glad to be home. Obviously got the win last night. I think they're hopeful that the worst part of the season, the worst part of what this city has seen here is over.
What do you expect this next few days at home to be like? I mean, there was a big deal last night about welcoming the club back home. Does it have the potential to kind of be a recharging thing for them, even if, I mean, they're still playing ball. It's not like they get a rest, but to kind of, like I said, recharge?
Yeah, I think so. Fans kind of unofficially dubbed yesterday reopening day. The club had white Baltimore uniforms made up specifically for that, and they could really feel the energy going through the ballpark. So I think it could certainly energize them. They're always a team that is fed off of the crowd. Baltimore's always been such a proud baseball city that certainly the two are intertwined. And I think it meant a lot last night to fans to see Buck Showalter, who I don't think I've ever seen in anything but his black Orioles jacket, actually wearing the team's jersey. So that was big. He knew how important it was. And again, kind of cool to see fans get this initiative going and really encourage people to pack Camden Yards.
Talking baseball now, I had it on my list for a couple of weeks now to talk about Ubaldo Jimenez. And he's a guy who's been very good at times in his career. So, excuse me, it's not like he's never been good before, but he's found it again. Does anybody, including Ubaldo, know what happens when he finds it or what happens when it goes away?
I think what happened with him this year in terms of how he was able to find it, a lot of the credit goes to Ramon Martinez. You know, Pedro's brother, you don't hear a whole lot about him, but he really helped Ubaldo, and he's pitching like a more confident guy. And really, it comes down to mechanics with him. Really, what he said since day one, if he doesn't have it, it's because he's having trouble repeating that delivery. It's not an easy delivery to repeat. He's a tall guy, a big wingspan. Simplifying it and eliminating that overhead really helped him out a lot. And I think he really benefited from having a good spring, having a few good starts in a row. Now, mentally, it's such a big aspect of the game when you get to this level. Everybody is talented. So I think when he's going good, because mentally he's in a good place, and physically he's able to repeat that delivery, and that's what you're seeing more often than not this season.
Right. I mean, that's sort of the, from the mechanical standpoint, from the just purely execution standpoint, it does seem like he's a guy who kind of loses his delivery and finds it again. And I remember you mentioning in the spring some attempt to simplify his motion. Is that something he's stuck to? Is that part of what's going on here?
Yeah. Like I said, he eliminated that overhead, which, you know, just getting the ball and not putting his glove hands over his head, I think has helped him kind of stay in line, not get quite as out of whack. And that's been big for him. Yeah, he adopted it right around September of last year. And he pitched, if you go back and look, he pitched pretty well out of the bullpen there late in the season. So this is something that he's been quietly and diligently working on. He really took to it. You can't force a guy to do something. They really felt like watching video of him last year, and the best way to get him right was to change his delivery back to what he had when he was first starting out in the minor league.
Well, we can now. Earlier in the year, we couldn't talk about Ubaldo Jimenez without also talking about Kevin Gausman. Those guys have certainly gone different directions. Gausman's now in the DL. It doesn't sound like there's a whole – people are sort of saying the right things now. What's your understanding of where Gausman is at? Is this a big worry or a little worry?
I think I have a much clearer idea after today. You know, he's getting an MRI. He saw the team orthopedist yesterday. They're calling it tendonitis, but – you know, certainly there are cases where you find something on that MRI that's troubling. So that's why they're getting it done. They want to know what they're dealing with. And if it's only tendonitis, I think this is actually a good thing for Kevin Costner. They've already talked about sending him down at AAA, getting him some starts, having him be used more consistent, and this could be a good avenue for that. Get him some rest, keep his innings in check, and then get him back on a regular starting routine and have him be an option for the Orioles at some point to that rotation at some point this season. So as long as the MRI he gets today comes back and they don't really see anything to tip against, I think it's a minor bump in the road for Kevin Costner.
It is. We've talked about the bullpen and talked about how this is not exactly the same sort of setup of a bullpen they've had in recent years. Gausman's such a hard guy to sort of pin down just because he presumably would be, if healthy, one of their seven best relievers. But at the same time, you know, obviously nobody goes through the season with five healthy starters and nothing else. It almost never happens. So. How do they weigh that balance once he comes back between, as you mentioned and as has been reported a few times, maybe having him build back up and start in the minors or returning him to the big league bullpen?
Well, first and foremost, it's going to have to do with what the major league club's needs are. If they need a reliever versus they need a starter. But I think the Orioles, all things being equal, realize that Kevin Gausman being a starting option is going to help this club a lot more than occasionally using him out of the bullpen. So if they don't have confidence in the bullpen, they can use that spot as an optionable spot, keep moving guys back and forth, a guy like T.J. McFarland is with them now, give them some length. So that's something they haven't really had, so they could really use that to their own advantage in terms of flexibility. Now, this rotation has been inconsistent at best, particularly Bud Norris. So I think that, you know, as soon as somebody slips up, as soon as they need a little bit of a shot in the arm, having Kevin Gausman added to the rotation could be a huge acquisition for them, kind of like a mid-season deal that they really don't need to obviously do anything. So all things being considered, I think Kevin Gausman is going to end up in this rotation. It might take until July. It might be a little bit sooner. It's going to depend on the needs of the club. But long-term, they don't want to keep fooling around with him. They don't want to keep yanking him back and forth. And it's getting to the point now where we're in mid-May. He's far enough away from starting. He hasn't started his spring training that he wouldn't even be an option for them. They'd have to stretch him back out, which I think is what they're going to end up doing with the DL today.
All right. Looking elsewhere around this roster, I noticed one of the most interesting numbers to me on this Oriole team so far is that Manny Machado has drawn 13 walks, among a lot of other things going well. I mean, he's really been hot lately. He's hitting the ball well. But he has never been a guy who walked at all, not even just an aggressive hitter, but a guy who just didn't walk, something like 29 times in his one full season. I obviously... They're not going to tell a guy to go up there and be passive, and they're certainly not going to tell an aggressive hitter to go up there and be passive. But is this by design? Is this something where he is trying to work that in more, trying to be a little more selective?
I don't think so. He hasn't directly mentioned it. Certainly, it's a byproduct of seeing the ball well. You hear all the time from guys that when they're going well, the game starts to slow down a little bit. And with that, you become a little bit more selective. And I think that's what's happening a little bit with Manny Machado. You know, you look at his average, you look at what he's been able to do this season. Like you said, he's not going up there looking to walk, hoping to walk. But again, he's seeing the ball so well that he's been able to be selective. And he's had a really good offensive start to the season. I'm a little concerned with the fact that he leads the team with seven errors. And it just seems like if another player had seven errors, we'd be talking about what was wrong with their defense. But with Manny Machado, he kind of gets swept under the rug in some aspect. I think that's a little more concerning when you talk about Manny and things that I've seen from him for the first month and a half.
So what are you seeing from him defensively?
You know, it's almost like he's trying to make routine plays a little fancier than they are. And of those seven errors, I would guess about four or five have been really costly. They have allowed runs that have come at a pivotal point of the game. And it's interesting because, like I said, if Jimmy Parisi said seven errors, maybe we'll be talking about whether or not he could still stay in the lineup, or Chris Davis, or Adam Jones, people would wonder if he was really had his head in the game. But Manny Machado has seven errors, and I don't think too many people realize that. I think there's a lot of goodwill in this city and around baseball built up toward Manny Machado. But, you know, I know internally it's something the Orioles want to lock down, something they want to fix, especially given that they've now got shortstop J.J. Hardy back. They've really got to cut back on some of the sloppy play that you saw in New York this past week if they're going to be able to compete.
One last thing, Matt Wieters is apparently catching almost a full game today in extended spring training. We talk about him every week, but we kind of have to talk about every week because it continues to be an ongoing situation. Where does he stand? Is he getting close to maybe going on at least a rehab assignment, or what's the situation with him?
Yeah, he's getting close. He still has to get back-to-back games. If he doesn't get back-to-back games, then they can't possibly think about sending him out on rehab. So he is catching 8 innings today. They're hoping for 9 Thursday and Saturday. And then the next step after that is he has to be able to go back-to-back. So you're not going to see him until at least June. They moved him to the 60-day DL yesterday. So they're going to hope that he's a player for them at all before this first half ends. But there's no rush here on Matt Weir. Till Joseph is playing well, they want him back right. But certainly this is taking longer than anyone envisioned this spring.
All right. Well, Brittany Giroli, thanks for taking some time to talk here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks everybody for listening.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.